Poder Aprender, el podcast que te ayuda a aprender idiomas, hobbies y skills de manera más efectiva. Acá hablamos sobre hábitos de aprendizaje, práctica deliberada y estrategias para aprender mejor. Mi nombre es Walter Freiberg y te invito a desarrollar tu poder de aprender para alcanzar tus metas personales y profesionales.
Today's guest is David Prosper, the Clarity Architect, Leadership Coach, and author of Finding Clarity, Your Guide to Peace, Purpose, and Prosperity. And David, after years of achieving success but still feeling stuck, he realized that what most high achievers are missing isn't ambition, it's clarity. Now, through his Clarity Catalyst Solutions Framework, he helps leaders move from burnout to alignment, from autopilot to purpose. In this conversation, you'll learn how to escape the default mode, design a life that reflects your values, and take courageous steps toward peace, purpose, and performance. Welcome, David, to Clarity Aprender.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Walter, for having me. I'm excited to be here and connect with you on these conversations about clarity and all things that you're doing as well.
David, you talk about living by design and not by default. And in your experience, in your coaching and in conversations with people, what are the biggest signs that someone's living on autopilot? And how can they learn to spot that themselves?
That's a great question. I would say the biggest signs when people are living on default is feeling overwhelmed. So that internal, like, I feel overwhelmed. And oftentimes, because we've been taught to consume. So when we're living in default, we're consumers. When we're living in design, we're creators. So creators are looking for the next big thing, or how can they facilitate a collaboration, connecting with the right people. But consumers are just like, what can I take? And it's like getting free samples at the mall or anywhere. It's like, hey, it's free. I just want to take. And we start noticing the default life of, I'm doing things that I don't want to do because I have to do it. There's things that we get to do and there's things that we have to do. But if someone's constantly like, oh, I have to do this, I have to go this space or place, they're often living in default.
I love that distinction. Consuming versus creating. It's so easy to be a consumer when we think in terms of social media or entertainment. Even though it's equally easy, or we have access to so many outlets, YouTube, social media, we prefer to consume instead of create.
Yeah, it's an epidemic. And I believe it feels good in a moment. It's equivalent to like when we're eating and it tastes good and the food is good and we just want more, we want more. We know that if we eat too much, we're going to feel like heavy, but it tastes good. So we just want that next, we want that other spoon. And I believe once we start moving to a life of design where we're thinking about what we're doing, we're being present in what we're doing versus just living in autopilot, then it's just like, okay, like what can I remove from my plate of life and what do I want more of in my life?
That's a great analogy in terms of feeding the ways that we are feeding ourselves with content or things that are not so nutritious for our body, for our minds. What steps successful people and smart people from finding clarity? And how can we start unlearning those patterns that are getting in the way?
That's such a great question. What stops successful people from clarity and the unlearning? It's the stories that we tell ourselves. We have adopted because we've been nurtured and programmed in a way of FOMO, fear of missing out. So if we don't take seize of it now, if we don't take it now, then we're going to miss out on our opportunity. And everything is limited time only. And I've learned that everyone's urgency is not our emergency. So if we're to gain clarity, we have to learn how to subtract some things. And that's literally reprogramming our human behavior. So I know like a lot of your talks are around like learning and skill building. I believe saying a responsible no is a skill set that we have to develop. And I remember one of my mentors taught me that, is saying like, are you practicing a responsible no? I was like, what do you mean by that? He was like, are you saying no to the wrong things so you can say yes to the right things? And if we're to get clarity, it's like doing a cleaning of our home. Have to remove some things in order to either find some things or to bring something new. And oftentimes it's a little bit hard because we have that emotional tie to what things could have been or what things should be versus being present what things are. And if we're going to step into clarity, we have to release some of the things in the past. And that's the past stories that got us to the level of success that we're in. It's the past traumas that we need to heal. And then we also have to let go of what things could have been with that past so we can step into the right now. So it's cleaning the clutter, subtracting things in our lives. So we start relearning, living a life of minimalists. And I'm a minimalist. I love like less is more from Charmin, the commercial, less is more. And it's such a powerful thing when we are grateful for the things that we have versus like we're so surrounded by a lot of things that takes up space, both physically, emotionally, and mentally. And that's what the things in our life do. It's like, is this enriching my life or depleting my life? And if it's depleting my life, I have to lovingly extend that and remove access, whether that's relationships. If this is enriching my life, I want more of that because that's where I'm becoming more alive.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I love that how you connect clarity with cleaning and uncluttering. And that's such a great way of seeing that. And even when our vision is unclear, or it's like we have like dust in our eyes, is that we're not, there are things that can be clearer, or that we can be cleaner in terms of we're not seeing properly. And there's things that are getting in the way and we're not seeing clearly. Speaking about clarity, you work with something called the clarity cycle. And I'm curious about what that is and how you use that and what are the possibilities with a clarity cycle.
It's a great question. It's equivalent to the seasons of life. There's summer, winter, fall, spring. And these seasons typically tell someone how to prepare and navigate. So the clarity cycle isn't a confinement. It's what state are you currently in? So the first step of the cycle is the wanderer. This is the person who's going through life in a fog. It was just like, things don't feel right, but I know I should be doing something a little different. And I just don't know quite what is it. So they're driving in a fog. And when we're driving in an actual fog, like our eyes are squinting, we're driving a little bit slower, we're more tense and we're more reactive. And then the way to get out of that wanderer cycle is to start asking those deep questions. Who do I want to become? Who am I becoming? Is this life enriching or depleting? And is this in alignment? And those questions, I believe the right questions leads us to the right destination versus the wrong questions. And then the second step of the cycle, they move into the seeker. The seeker are people who are listening to the podcast just like this, Walter. They're reading books. They're consuming content, like we talked about earlier, that's enriching. They're just like, okay, I'm going to the seminars. I'm going to the networking events. I'm going to all these things. So I want all this information. And it's beautiful. But oftentimes, the seeker is so overwhelmed with information, analysis by paralysis. It's like, there's so many e-courses to take. There's so many podcasts to listen to. And the next step from the seeker is to start saying, okay, what resonates with me and what doesn't resonate with me? And then taking what resonates to the next step, which is the architect. And the architect is like, okay, I've consumed these content. I've done these things. How do I want to build the lifestyle, the world, my ecosystem that's the truest to me, that I feel grounded in the values of love, service, generosity, connection, kindness? And the architects start designing their lifestyle on how they interact with others, the work that they choose. And then once they are in that designing mode, they move into the last step of the cycle, which is the flow master. And the flow master is the individual who's so aligned and so grounded in conviction. They're that person who just, they don't flinch when life reacts to them. They're so attuned and that a sense of peace. And then the flow master reaches out and grabs the wanderer and walks him through the journey. So the cycle is just to identify where are we in this season and what steps we need to take in order to move from a life of default to a life of design.
That's such a great framework. And I can relate as you were sharing like the different moment in this cycle. And I have a question about like when we feel, when we are going from this state of discovering all the possibilities, like we go to the networking events and we start reading books, listen to podcasts, and we see there are so many options. And at one moment we say, okay, I need to choose one. I cannot do everything at once. And how can we deal with this feeling of I might be missing out, or what if this is not the right one? What would be your advice?
Yeah, the fear of missing out, FOMO. I remember working with a teenager who we went into Walmart and I had him, the goal was for him to purchase a car, a little car, toy car. And he's in the aisle of Walmart and he sees all of the cars and he's like, there's so many. I was like, okay, pick your top three. And then we got it down to three. And then he was like, but I can't decide on the one. I was like, which one do you least like? I was like, well, I don't like that one. And then it was two. And then he was like, but I just want them both. I'm like, which one do you least like? He was like, well, I like them both. I'm like, okay. Now I'm going to flip a coin, an imaginary coin. And if it lands on head, you choose the red one. If it lands on blue, you choose the red one, or the blue one. The red or blue. I flip an imaginary coin. I was like, which one? And he was like, blue. I was like, that's your answer. So sometimes when we're in a space of there's so much information, there's so much resource, there's so much option, I would encourage people to start processing and filtering which one least resonates with me or which one I like the least. And once we can do the process of elimination there, now we narrow down to 3 to 5 things that we can do. And then the next question was like, which one am I being pulled to the most? Not which one is the right one or the wrong one. Where am I getting pulled to the most? And then based off that, our intuition is usually leading us in the right direction. And then the next step would be a moment of surrender. If I'm making the right decision, then all things will work out for me. If I'm making the wrong decision, I'm open to change. And now that allows us to feel that courage and that encouragement to say, I'm going to lean in this direction. And if I need to make it a pivot, I can be adaptable and I can adjust to make another decision. Indecision is formative decision. And then what happens is that compound effect happens. It affects our confidence. When we can't make a decision, then we're no longer confident in ourselves. Then we no longer trust ourselves to make a decision. So it's the back to what you're talking about earlier. It's the skill building of building confidence, and confidence is making a decision, trusting yourself, and then doing the same thing over and over and be like, okay, I trust myself to make this decision is equivalent to a bird. They're not afraid of the branch breaking because they're confident in their ability to fly. And I would say the same thing for us is we shouldn't be afraid of making the wrong decision. We should be afraid of making no decision.
I appreciate what you say about there's no right or wrong choice here. And when you were telling when this kid or this person landed to that, narrow it down to true option, it's like, well, there's no wrong choice here. It's like, it can be either of those.
Yeah.
When you narrow it down sufficiently, it's like, you can, they're fine.
It's literally, and the beauty about life is, I believe like, the myth of wrong clarity is that we have to have it all figured out. And we're not God to figure everything out. I believe clarity is the next right step. And I believe also that life is a teacher. If it's not the greatest experience, it's going to teach us something. If it's a great experience, it's going to teach. So either way, we learn. And I believe if we can find the pain in the lesson, then that's purposeful. It's not wasted. Yeah.
Talking about tools, you also developed this clarity archetype quiz. And tell us more. Can you tell us more about how knowing our archetype help us? How can we learn? How can we grow or lead better?
Yeah. So the archetype quiz is going back to the cycle, like what is your state currently? And whether you're a wanderer, a seeker, an architect, or a flow master. And then the quiz allows individuals to, it gets real detailed. So when somebody completes its quiz, it shows you how you interact with people. So usually wanderers, their relationships are very passive. So they're like, you know, should we go out somewhere? I don't know, maybe. What's your thoughts? It's very passive. And then the seeker's like, oh my goodness, there's a movie that came up. Like, we need to go. Like, they're that energy. And then the architect's like, so I created an itinerary for everyone to come on this trip. And they're just like the real detailed person. And the flow master is like, you know what? Let's just kind of go with the flow. And let's have a plan, but be open to all. So it shows us how we interact with others and how we continue to level up. Because again, a cycle, it's not a stationary place. Like, you don't get to a place like the flow master, because different seasons allows us to start at the beginning of when we start a new job, when we get in a relationship, when we go through a life transition. We start as a wanderer of death of a loved one. And then we constantly go through those cycles. But the goal is to know where you're at and know the steps to get to where you want to be to live a life of design.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And thinking about finding more clarity, let's say that someone is feeling quite stuck. And what would be the first step you would recommend? Is it about reflection? Is it about thinking or about taking action? Would you recommend something else?
That's such a powerful question. And it's a real question, right? Oftentimes as speakers and motivational people, we can get to the mountaintop and we can forget what it was like when we were in that confused, chaotic, unclear space. So that individuals who feel stuck, I would first say, I see you. I hear you. And I've been there. And what all the feelings that you're feeling, they're all valid. I just want to validate that. And the next step I would encourage that individual would be find a meditation that allows you to first get grounded. Before we can open up our minds to the paradigms of the possibilities, we first have to get grounded. And we have to move out of that survival brain to our prefrontal cortex. So I would encourage meditation of just groundedness and just, okay, I am here, I am present, I love me, like first grounded. And then the next step would be, who in my world, in the spaces and places that I'm in, that I admire their characteristics and their confidence, not just arrogant, because people can be boisterous, but that quiet, authentic confidence and confidence. And we can understand those individuals because they easily give compliments without needing just like, look at me, look at me. So like finding people who resemble or emulate or radiate clarity in their lives, and then just put ourselves around them. If we don't know where we're going, be around people who at least know where they're going. And eventually, like my grandfather would say, tell me who your friends are, I'll tell you where your future goes. And that's a lesson that I stuck with forever. So it's just like, surround yourself with people who emulate and radiate clarity or certainty or confidence. And then eventually it's going to start rubbing off. And then you take your next steps of exploring yourself, exploring what's in alignment, and then start designing a life of, okay, what are my values? Who am I becoming? Who am I serving? What lights me up? And we can start exploring that. But before we can explore that, we have to get grounded.
Such a powerful thing. And the way where we put ourselves and the importance of the context, those we're spending time with and people who are influencing us. Yeah. And you mentioned meditation as a tool and something that helps us get more grounded. And when you're working with high achievers and people who might be confusing sometimes, or they might be tempted to push through productivity and try to be as productive as possible, I imagine that meditation or might be one of the things recommend to people to slow down. What are other tools that you offer the clients, the people, or to slow down and connect with what really matters to them?
Yeah. So one of the things that I love working with clients and a number of them started implementing this and start seeing like the transformation in their lives is a C5 model. And if we can look through the lens through the C5 model, what happens is we start making better decisions, and better decisions lead us to better outcomes. Better outcome leads us to a life that's more in alignment. So the first C in the C5 model is capacity. Oh, the question is, am I growing my capacity? Am I growing my ability to hold the responsibilities that I've been given? Am I stretching, or am I just being comfortable? And then the second C is competency. Another skill development is like, am I growing in my skill set to get the job done? So as a leader, one of the biggest things that I have to think about is the people that I serve. So if I'm serving them and my goal is to level them up, I have to be better in my communication. I have to be better in my conflict resolution. I got to be better in my vision casting. I got to be better in my operational skill set, my technical skills, as well as my soft skills. So it's the competency of things. And then the third C is courage. Am I doing things outside of my comfort zone that's going to stretch me and expand me? And John Maxwell talks about the leadership lid. So the people around me will grow and expand as much as I grow and expand. But if I'm not growing and my courage isn't forcing me to outside of my comfort zone, I'm eventually going to be complacent, and then eventually I'm going to expire. So courage is not the absence of fear, but the presence of faith. And then we move into the fourth C, which is connection. Connection is, who are the people in my life that helps me move forward towards the vision, the values, and the vehicles that I want to use? And who are connectors? Are these connections and relationships moving me forward, or are they keeping me in a cage? And then the last C of the C5 model is curiosity. Am I adopting and practicing the mindset of a learner? Like, what can this teach me? Or am I adopting the mindset as an expert? Like, I've arrived and I know it all. I have 27 million years of experience. Ask me, I'm the oracle, right? So it's like keeping them, because curiosity keeps us open. It keeps us adaptable. It keeps us agile. And then it keeps us evolving, because I believe we can only do one of two things, expire or evolve. And if we practice the C5 models of building our capacity, building our competency, stretching in our courage, finding the right connections and being curious, I believe that framework and tool that my clients have used, they've seen great transformation in their lives. And more importantly, they've seen that transformation in the lives of those around them.
I see this like super applicable to learning and skill building in general and in life. It's wonderful. I love this. And I really like what you say about courage and for leaders, what it means. And what I heard is that if I'm not an inspiring leader, if I'm not embodying courage, I'm going to be role model for that for the people in my team. And that might be a problem, right? And could you give us some examples of what does it look like, courage and learning or decision-making in life in general? What are some examples that you could share with us?
Let's say like courage looks like doing something scary, and scary isn't jumping out of a plane. Granted, I did that and that's amazing, but it isn't that. Courage is having that difficult conversation. Courage is advocating for your needs. Courage is speaking up when others shy away. So one of the things in psychology is the bystander effect. When someone sees something going on, they don't say anything because somebody else will say something. And something that I've always gotten in trouble for to this very day, and I'm okay with it, is I speak up when other people aren't speaking up. And it's a mindset and a heart set of just, I'm a leader. And sometimes that means making things uncomfortable to get the right thing. So courage is going against the current and going against the grain.
You're willing to put yourself in that uncomfortable situation. And you mentioned something about faith and when we were talking about courage and fear. So this is not about not feeling fear or not having any fear. Could you tell us more about that and the place of faith and how this all this plays out?
Yeah. And I'm an amateur boxer right now. And one of the things as a fighter is we all feel fear. Like it's a very real thing. It's a protective thing. It keeps us safe. But courage is saying, I feel the fear, but I'm not letting the fear control me. And a lot of us, we are so paralyzed to the fear and like, oh, I don't want to do it. And it's just like, and that's courage. It's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. So when I step into the ring with a lot of good fighters, even sparring partners, I'm like, man, this guy's tough. Like, but I'm going to show up anyways, because that's the only way I level up. I don't back down from a fight. And that's caused me to level up. And it's just like, I feel it every single day. I think about like getting knocked out. I think about losing. But I'm like, okay, but if I focus on my training, going back to my competency, then when fears show up and my body feels it, my muscle remembers it. So that's what separates athletes from like the ordinary folks who don't play a sport, professional athletes. Most athletes or most people do things so they get it right. Athletes do things so they never get it wrong. And if we can adopt that mindset, when we feel fear, we still do it anyways because we've been training so long for it.
So you feel the fear and do it anyway. And that's so good I'm thinking of people learning languages, and when they have this fear of speaking with natives and practicing conversation, that's another type of difficult conversation when you are like vulnerable in that you are learning the language and you know that you're making mistakes. That would be like another type of difficult conversation, right?
Yes.
Can you tell me more about myth that you see around clarity or success that people have in your coaching practice, and how do these myths or limiting beliefs are holding people back from real growth?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that the biggest myth, again, is going to speak to how we essentially have to have it all figured out. And the biggest misconception I think about for success is that we tend to focus on the outward success versus the internal success. And oftentimes we are externally successful, but we're internally unsuccessful. So we might be winning in life in different areas on the outside, but we're actually passing away on the inside. So one of the things that I struggled with earlier on in my career is that I was succeeding on the outside, but my marriage at the time was failing. I often think, okay, success from the external eyes is the only thing that matters. But I believe true success is living a life of fulfillment. And fulfillment is, do I feel satisfied? Do I enjoy what I'm doing with who I'm doing? And then the biggest myth around clarity is that we have to have it all figured out. And I've had this challenge with a lot of my clients, and they're just like, well, I just don't know my vision. You don't have to know your vision yet, but you have to take the next step. It's literally like going on a road trip with a car. Like when we're going on a road, we can only see driving at night 200 to 400, maybe 600 feet ahead of us, but that's all we can see. And as we continue to drive, we have the destination in our GPS because we believe that we're going to get there. So we keep on going. But most of us are just like, I have to see the directions. I have to see the destination. I got to feel it. It's just like, no, just take your next right step. So I would say those are the two biggest hurdles that overcome. And when I start getting my clients to start adopting this mindset, every day make progress, every day find clarity and marry the process, because the outcome's inevitable. Once I start getting them in the process, in the practices of taking that next right step, then they stop trying to attach themselves emotionally to an outcome. And the thing about success is, if we attach ourselves, our identity and our worth to an outcome, if we don't achieve that outcome, now we feel worthless. But if we attach ourselves to the process, then whatever outcome comes, then our worth comes from what we do, not what we gain. And as a learner, when I used to teach in education a couple of years ago, one of the things I would often praise I had pre-K all the way to 12th grade, I would praise the kids, not on what they achieved. Like if they got an A on an assignment, that's cool, good job. But I was more celebratory on like, what did you do to get that? No, I did this. And I was like, yo, like, that's amazing. and praising the process, now they can take that process and apply it to anything else. But that outcome, that A can't follow you at a job. That A can't follow you in your marriage. So it's like, we often praise outcomes, but it's the process that actually gets us there.
Much more useful and much more helpful to focus more on the on that process and the gain or the benefit of staying there, doing that work, being detached from the outcome. That's wonderful. And we know that we have talked about the clarity cycle, and in terms of personal development practices like journaling, or we talk about meditation, what are the practices that tend to accelerate transformation the most for your clients in your experience?
Community. One thing I've learned is no matter how much motivational tapes you listen to, no matter how many books you read, no matter how much you journal, if the environment in which you're in is not conducive and expansive, we fall default to our environment. So I love therapy, and I went to therapy to deal with my trauma, but my healing didn't start, like, it wasn't in therapy. It was a start, and it started in therapy, but my true healing and transformation happened when I started surrounding myself with people who inspire me, who challenge me. So, like, being in that, it's like being on a sports team, and I make a lot of sports references because I played college football, and the teams that I played on where we won a lot is because a lot of the people around us had that winning mindset. And I played Pop Warner football when I was a kid, and we would lose a lot because a lot of the people around me had losing mindset. So no matter how much I wanted to win, if the people around me wanted to lose, that we tend to fall default to the community. So true and lasting transformation, it happens in community. And one of the questions that I always ask my clients when they're like, I'm doing all the right things, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I say, all right, who's the people in your community? They're like, oh. And if they're not getting encouraged at home or the spaces that they're in, eventually that negativity wears and tears any positive person.
Yeah. And what about people who are listening to us right now, and they know that they are not, might not be in the surrounded by the right people or the people who can propel them towards their desired future. And I've heard of people, and I've met people who said, I don't know where my community is, or I don't know where or how to find these people. What do you say to such persons when they are clueless and they don't know even where to start, even though they know that they are not surrounded by the people they want to be surrounded with?
I would say become the magnet, not the hustler. And what I mean by that, and I've heard a number of people say this, it's like, where do I look? Where do I look? It starts with you. It starts with you. And when I say magnet, is create a lighthouse where people are naturally magnetized to, attracted to. So for example, doing a podcast. So I would assume you get to meet Walter, you get to meet amazing human beings by just having a conversation with them, who I would presume to say that they share the same mindset as you of growth, of possibility, of learning, of skill building. So you're creating your community, whether it's digitally or virtually, and then through these little moments, and then sometimes it's locally, like you're using a platform to call the right people versus sitting idle and like, where are the people? The only people coming to knock at your door are the Jehovah's Witness and just like some sales guy. But everybody else, they're not going to come in. How do they know? And that's why a lot of businesses do all this marketing, is because we have to tell you what we do. And if we're just waiting for someone to say, hey, I want to be in your circle, then we're going to be very disappointed. So I would encourage people, like, if they don't want to do a podcast, that's probably a lot. Talk about the things that you care about on social media, like within reason, like, and that's the beauty of diversity. There's people who share strong opinions that I don't share. hey, there's a group for you. There's a group of people that resonate with. So it's talking about and sharing the things that you care about, and then the right people are going to be attracted to it. And then you strike up conversations, and that's how you start. But inaction is not going to lead to anything. But if you take action, use the platforms and the resources you have, you'll start attracting those people. And don't think you have to have a mass following. It's just like, you, if you have 10 followers, you can find at least 2 people who think the way you think, and then you can connect with them.
I want to stress what you said about not waiting and getting in action. So this is also connected to what you mentioned at the beginning in terms of consuming versus producing. And what I hear what you're saying is about contributing to others. And that can be there are options. You can go create your podcast or YouTube channel, or you can share a comment on something, or you can post something. And that difference between I just watching someone's video or reading a post, or am I willing to post something myself, or am I willing to comment when somebody creates something? Am I starting a conversation? Am I engaging with others, or just like passively consuming and using what others are doing? And that sounds like a great first step in putting things into motion and connecting with others.
In theory and in practicality, it's real simple, but I think the missing piece is courage. People are afraid of being rejected. And I think that's what keeps people in that limited mindset. And I would challenge people to really consider, are you more afraid of rejection or regret? And if you're afraid of regret, you're going to be rejected a lot. But if you're afraid of rejection, you're going to regret a lot. And if whatever you decide, those two things are going to happen. For me personally, I'm afraid of regret. So I get rejected a lot more times than I get received. But at the end of the day, I've taken more swings at the bat than I've not. So I would challenge people to, like, what really drives you, regret or rejection? If rejection drives you, you're going to regret a lot more at the end of your life. But if regret drives you, you're going to be rejected. And that's part of the process.
Okay. We are coming towards the end of this conversation. And I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you like share that I haven't asked so far that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I have a book called Finding Clarity. And this book, Finding Clarity, goes through the clarity cycle, the C5 model, and so many more frameworks. Clarity is not just the what to do, it's the how to do it. And oftentimes we get told what to do and we're just like, okay, I'm motivated, but how do I use this? It's very practical, it's very conversational. And if you're on a journey of leveling up and tired of living on default and just like, you know what, this isn't my best, this book is for you. Or if you're in a position of transition, whatever life transition that you're in, this book is for you. So you can visit that on davidbprosper.com. And there's so many more bonuses that I have if you visit the site.
Excellent. Thank you for that. And so people can find more about you on your website that you just shared. Would you like to share more about how can people connect with you or the type of work that you do?
Yeah, 100%. So I'm on all social media platforms, but I live on Instagram at IamProsper1_. Connect with me there. I would love to have a conversation with you and to hear your story, because I believe I'm just a clarity architect, a clarity guy coming alongside of individuals like yourselves. So let's connect. Let's see how we can collaborate. And I would love to connect you on Instagram there, or you can go on my site, davidbprosper.com. Those are the two places I respond, and I'm there frequently. So I'd love to connect.
Awesome. Thank you, David, for your presence here today. It was wonderful learning with you and learning more about finding how can we get more clarity in our lives, in our learning, and in general. It was wonderful.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Puedes escuchar Poder Aprender en las principales plataformas de podcast y en YouTube. También te invito a suscribirte al newsletter semanal en poderaprender.com para enterarte de los nuevos episodios del podcast y otras novedades para aprender mejor. En redes sociales, puedes buscar este podcast como Poder Aprender. Encontrá todos los links en la descripción. Y si te gusta mucho, si te sirve el contenido del podcast, te invito a dejar una reseña y una calificación de 5 estrellas en Spotify o Apple Podcasts para que estos episodios lleguen a más personas y que más gente pueda aprender mejor. Eso es todo por ahora. Nos vemos en un próximo episodio. Sigan aprendiendo y acuérdense de practicar bien.